KYW News Radio Original Podcasts. From KYW News Radio 103.9 FM, this is Bridging Philly, connecting our communities on the issues that matter to you. Presented by Gift of Life Donor Program. Register as an organ donor at donorsone.org.
Hello, I'm Raquel Williams. Welcome to Bridging Philly. Does love and marriage really go together like a horse and carriage? Since half of marriages end in divorce, this may not be that cut and dry. As couples grow and change, along with family dynamics, the relationship changes. This week, I sit with Reverend Khalil Carmichael, a local author of the book, Restore Us. It's a workbook of sorts for married couples to help reclaim the origins of their union.
It's a season of learning about yourself. If you're with someone for 20 years, people are growing.
And Charity Howard visits a 19th century bank.
We have a 6-story work of art that you can come in and walk through.
All that's coming up on Bridging Philly. Well, Valentine's Day has come and gone, but I came across a book that I think couples, specifically married couples, will appreciate. In the United States, fewer people are getting married than ever before, and when they do it later in life. That's according to USFacts.org. Divorce rates have hit a new low, which is good news. However, experts say 35 to 40% of first marriages will eventually end in divorce. Influential conservative groups like the Heritage Foundation has been pushing for the restoration of marriage in response to declining marriages and birth rates. Reverend Khalil Carmichael is a hospice staff chaplain, formerly with Penn Medicine, now with Noble Care. He is senior pastor of Live Well Church in Windsor, New Jersey, and has 25 years of experience in pastoral care, including pre- and post-marital counseling. He's written a book, a workbook, if you will, for couples entitled Restore Us. Reverend Carmichael joins us now. Welcome to Bridging Philly.
Thank you so much for having me here today. It's so good to be obviously in Philly and here with you. And I'm just hoping that we're able to help restore people to where they want to be and where they feel they should be. I have to set my intention before I start.
Okay? I understand.
My intention for everything that I do, including this moment and being in this blessed space with you and on this radio station, is to glorify God and restore lives, love authentically, and help people live well, mind, body, and spirit. And my prayer is that everyone experiences that intention that hears this show.
And we need that. So thank you. Appreciate that. So let's get right into it.
Yeah,
what led you to write the book, Restore Us? How did this come about?
So I've been married now for almost 25 years to the lovely Yvette Carmichael. And we had a great love story when we started. But then the children and the house and the businesses and ministry for me, both of us returned, and for her, and both of us returned or found our way back to school. The children were growing, soccer, basketball, and we forgot all about us.
Mm-hmm.
We forgot about us. We forgot that we are the most important thing in this relationship. We keep it all together. If there's a world where we're not together, I can't even imagine a world where we're not together. But if that happens, everything falls apart.
Right.
If we're not together, the kids fall down, the businesses fall, the church, everything. It's just, before we can worry about all of that, we have to remember there is an us.
Right. The us is the foundation everything else is standing upon. Now, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the children, and we're going to talk about how all of these things kind of affect the us. But I wanted to just have a general conversation about marriage and how people look at marriage. And of course, it's a step that's not to be taken lightly. But a lot of us lead with pure emotion when it comes to jumping the broom. What is the main message that you try to instill in couples who you see for premarital counseling when they sit in your office and they're happy and they're glowing and they're ready to get married? What's the main thing that you want them to know?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I do a great amount of marriages. I officiate. You know, that's my ministry, really helping couples. And so sitting down with I won't marry someone unless they go through premarital counseling with me.
Got it.
The thing that I tell couples, most importantly with marriage, I ask this question and they all just, they get it wrong. Everybody gets it wrong. I say, what is the most important aspect of marriage and what will keep you together forever. And they say, oh, you know, taking time, a little massage here and there. And
okay.
Keeping myself fit and nice and making sure I stay. I say, no. The only thing that keeps a couple together in marriage is commitment. Being committed to the marriage. Making it work. Saying, you know what? Divorce is not an option. Now, wait a minute now. I want to just say this. If someone's being abused, this physical abuse, emotional abuse, any type of abuse, you got to get out of that.
Right.
But if there's no abuse and it's just the nuances of marriages and the selfishness of marriage, you know, it has to be commitment. I love what you shared, the statistics. But I think also we can add on to that the number of people who are married unhappily.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. They're together. They're living like roommates. Mm-hmm. There's no romance. There's no intimacy, more importantly.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just kind of, you know, resigned to, you know, we're just going to stay together but be unhappy.
You know, the reason why I asked you about, you know, what you, you know, want to instill in couples that are about to embark, you know, on the institution of marriage is because a lot of us, little girls especially, and I'm going to tell you I'm one of them, Cinderella, all the fairy tales, the white horse, sweep right. off your feet.
Right.
You know, beautiful wedding, everything happily ever after.
Right.
These are fairy tales because they're fairy tales.
yeah. There's a fairy tale component, but if you really dig deep into couples and you sit and talk with them, as I do, especially through pastoral care and counseling, when I counsel couples who are married, when I tell them to reveal the story of us, their love story, there's some fairy tale components in that.
Mm.
You know, somebody was in California, somebody was in Jersey, and they met. My wife and I, we met and we had separated because we just couldn't get together the way we wanted to. And I was in New Orleans at the Essence Festival.
Okay.
Lauryn Hill was getting down. And I was on the third deck.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit, told me to get up and go downstairs. And I got up. I went downstairs to the first level. And about 3 minutes later, I felt a tap on my shoulder. And I turned around, and it was my wife, who wasn't my wife then. And she said, Khalil Carmichael. And I said, whoa, what are you doing here? And from that point on, we were able to be together. So there's a little fairy tale in that.
Mm-hmm.
When I ask couples to share the story of us, no matter what they're going through, they can be on the verge of divorce. But when they share their love story, they both smile. They start laughing. There's this kind of connection where one person is telling the story. Then the next person says, oh, no, we didn't do that. We were in Philly. No, we were in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you get something like that wrong, Brooklyn or Philly?
Uh-huh.
But it just shows you how far we get away from our story.
Yeah. You know, people think that, you know, if you're a devout Christian, a devout Muslim, a devout Buddhist, a devout Jewish person or what have you, that as long as you follow the rules, your marriage is fine. You don't have marriage problems.
Right.
People of faith have marriage issues.
Oh, people with faith have big marriage issues because in faith traditions, and I work with all faith traditions, I'm a hospice chaplain, so I'm what you call an interfaith chaplain, and I bring that practice into my ministry. But, you know, I'm a Christian. But, you know, I would say faith marriages or marriages based on faith or using faith as the guardrails for the marriage is not enough because there are power dynamics in faith marriages. You know, the husband is the head and the wife is this and you know, now that ain't gonna cut it. You know, when you got most of the women, you know, working and making a wonderful income and supporting the household and so what you have to speak to that, you know, you have to work in that and say, okay, God is a God of order, but God loves the wife just as much as the husband. God wants the wife to reach her full potential just as much as the man.
Right.
And when you help people see that it's okay to have your faith, but to not use your faith to be an oppressor, your faith can be a great asset to your marriage.
Okay. Well, let's get into the book a little bit more. restore us, because every love story begins within us. When couples get a hold of this book, how should they approach it? How should they approach the seven practices to begin that journey to restoration?
What I've been hearing is the first thing, they have to overcome their fear.
Mm.
You know, because this workbook, this book is forcing them to face what needs to be fixed.
And it's not always pretty.
It's not always pretty.
Right.
Because we, you know, most of the time, if we've been focusing on everything else except us, we've been suppressing a lot, pushing down a lot. So
yes.
Conversations that need to occur are not occurring.
Right.
Connection that needs to happen is not happening. And so the first step is to overcome your fear and know that this is not something that will cause you to move away from each other, but hopefully cause you to reconnect, to move closer together in a way that you really want to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to say this. Whenever I counsel a couple, my first question to them is, do you still love your person? That's important.
Yeah.
That's important. If someone is like, you know, I don't really love them anymore. I'm not talking about in love.
Right. Okay.
I'm not talking about in love. I'm talking about you love this person and you want to be together. We can proceed.
Okay.
But if you just don't want to be together, I don't care if me or any other so-called relationship, restorative relationship person is with you. You're not going to want to do the work.
Right.
See, people think work in relationship and marriage specifically is getting the flowers, or we're going to share the responsibilities of picking up the children. Mm-hmm. We're going to share the financial response. That's not the work. The work is facing your dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
The work is dealing with your baggage. The work is being able to have intimate conversations that don't feel good,
right,
but you're able to work it out and say, I'm going to work and sit my behind in this chair and deal with this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Those conversations can be very revealing.
Mm-hmm.
I once heard someone say, you know, when you're not in alignment with your partner and you're trying to get in alignment, it's kind of like going to a chiropractor. There's a little pain getting in alignment. There's a little crack there.
A little crack.
You have to deal with that to get in alignment. But to face your own demons, to actually maybe start something and then realize, wait a minute, it's not all this person. I thought it was him. It's
right.
Me too.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I love your analogy with the chiropractor. What the first thing before there can be any cracks or alignment, you got to lay on that table.
Mm. You got to get there.
So you got to get there.
Right.
And so my whole thought is, let's sit down and let's start the conversation. And this is what this book helps us to do, Restores, because it forces us to adhere to some kind of like rules, but just some understanding. Yeah. Basic understanding. This is a basic understanding. When I talk, you're going to listen. And when you talk, I'm going to listen. I'm not going to be listening for a response, but I'm going to be listening for healing.
Right.
You understand? That's important.
Yeah. That is important, especially when people tend to listen to fix.
Right. To respond.
To respond immediately. They're not even hearing you.
Not even hearing you.
Yeah.
Not even hearing you. And this book forces us to sit. My wife and I, we went through all these exercises.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she would say something, I had to listen. You know, active listening is a skill that can be learned.
Bridging Philly continues in a moment. Back to Bridging Philly, connecting our communities on the issues that matter to you.
In the book, you write, attention restores what neglect erodes.
Mm-hmm.
I've felt that completely, because that is so important, because like we're going to get back into the whole family dynamic. You know, it's not just, okay, married and live happily ever after. There are kids, there are illnesses, there are bills, all kinds of things happen to kind of, that would perhaps derail you or take you off the path. But and then you feel neglected. Then there's that feeling of neglect. So How do you get couples get back to paying attention to each other and not taking each other's presence for granted?
You know, Raquel, that's powerful. It's a responsibility when a man takes on a woman. And the responsibility is not always financial. We always think it's financial. Pay my bills. Remember the song from Beyonce? Can you pay my bills? Can you? Yeah. It's not that.
Right.
The responsibility is being attentive. Like attentive. You know, I tell men, you have to study your woman. You have to study her.
I was going to say that again.
Oh my God. You have to study her. You have to say, okay, my wife normally when she comes home from work, she commutes and she's not going to stop and fill up the gas tank. I'm going to take care of that.
Mm.
You have to study your woman. You have to say, you know, my wife, easy pass, you know, is often, you know, in her on her side door and make sure I mount it or put it up where it's supposed to be. This is study. And women will say, I'm a grown woman. I don't need anybody to take care of me. That's not the point.
Mm-hmm.
This is, we're talking about a marriage. And you have to be attentive to your spouse, just as wives have to be attentive to their husband. And so I think that to be attentive, we have to listen to our partners and see what they need. My wife told me for years what she needed, and I didn't listen. I wasn't attentive. Mm-hmm. And it was so simple. But I wanted to give her what I thought she needed. She would say things like, rub my back. And I'd be like, oh, no, I'm not going to rub your back. I'm going to make sure that your car is clean or whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
But she told me,
mm-hmm.
and I have to tell you, I didn't want to rub her back. I was tired too. But that's being attentive to your partner. You have to give them what they need. She needed that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the work.
Understand. What is the relationship season? And what does that exercise in the book do?
The relationship season is important. We often forget that marriage is a season. Everything else is a season in our life. We're at a job for a season.
Mm-hmm, right.
Right? We're in school for a what?
Season.
Season, right? We're on this exercise program to help us get healthier for a season. We're vacationing over here during this season.
Right.
Everything is a season, except when the marriage is going through problems and issues. Oh no, let's sell the house. Let's get rid of the children. Let's just blow up everything. Let's scorch the earth because this is not a season.
Mm.
But it is a season. It's a season of disconnection.
Okay.
It's a season of learning about yourself, you know, learning what works for you. There's a season. If you're with someone for 20 years, people are growing. I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago.
That's right.
My wife is not the same person she was 20 years ago. So there may be a season of us getting to know ourselves again because we changed.
Right.
And there is a season. There's a season where we have to assess.
Mm-hmm.
We have to assess. My wife and I, we're entering an empty nest season. So we have to assess.
Right.
So we go out to dinner. We do date night. And when we go out to date night, she'll start talking about the children. I'm like, time out. Or I'll start talking about the children. I say, you know what? My son really got on my nerves today. You know what he did? And she'll go, time out.
Right.
Like, let's not do that.
Yeah. Going from us.
Right.
Husband and wife to mom and dad.
Right.
You lose the us. The us is like, who are you again? And who are you again? Because I'm mom and I'm dealing with this and you're dad and you're dealing with this. But where'd the us go?
In anything you neglect, you will lose.
Mm, say that again.
Anything you neglect, you will lose.
Wow.
And the us disappears with the neglect. Of course, the responsibilities are real, but you cannot forget the most important aspect of this whole family dynamic. This whole big, I like to say our whole big ship.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we have is contingent upon us being right.
When you counsel married couples who are going through, you know, issues, what would you say is the common denominator among all of these couples? They come in there and you see we've been married 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is happening. What's the common denominator there?
They lost us and they're not listening to one another. They're not listening. And this is a big one, Raquel. This is a big one. In 15 years of marriage or 20 years of marriage, there has been harm done. There's been hurt, emotional hurt and pain. Somebody's been neglected. Somebody's needs are not being met. Somebody's not being heard. Somebody cheated. Somebody had an emotional affair. Somebody got in contact with their ex-boyfriend or their girlfriend on social media. Somebody's parent didn't like the spouse. There's been harm, and that harm goes unnamed. And they can't discuss the harm, because every time there's a discussion of the harm, someone gets defensive and shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no forward progression. There's no way forward. So when people are coming to me, I try to offer them a way forward by remembering the us.
So I guess we can kind of end the book discussion by talking about, you know, sharing gratitude and appreciation. All the work and all the exercises in there, at the end of the day, if there's no expression of gratitude mm-hmm. and appreciation, you know, that could be an issue too. How important is it to just say, hey, thank you. Thank you for everything mm-hmm. you do. Thank you mm-hmm. for, you know, being a wonderful mother and a
right.
wonderful wife.
Right.
Without it being some kind of holiday.
Right.
Without it being anything. Just
yeah.
showing gratitude.
So the first exercise in the book, I think, really sets the stage. The recording exercise.
Okay.
Where each partner will record their remembrance of the love story.
Mm-hmm.
And then you exchange it with your partner. They listen. And then you come together and listen to both stories together. That right there, I think, starts to break the fallow ground and break the hardened hearts, and to help people to just kind of remember,
mm-hmm.
man, he was fine. You know,
right.
man, she was beautiful. When I heard my wife in her recording story say, when she saw me, every man in there disappeared.
Wow.
I was wow. like, I didn't know that. I thought I was ugly.
Okay.
you understand?
Yes.
I've been married to you for so long, I'm grown ugly. but when she said that, it did something to me.
It built you up.
It built me up, and it yeah. made me say, I remember that night.
Mm.
So I think that first practice, but I also think the gratitude piece and the appreciation piece comes from that remembering of us. Like, wow, you're my girl. I remember that. Now you're a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I tell you, can you believe that our first date birthed all of this?
Wow.
Just two strangers coming together. I know it sounds a little corny, but I'm a romantic at heart. Just two strangers coming together with all our baggage, all our stuff, and we gave birth and creation, because we're all creators. We have right. we create. Imagine if I turn left or you turn right, or imagine if I didn't call you,
right?
Or we didn't meet,
right?
What would our lives be? What would
yeah?
What would happen? These human beings are on Earth, breathing and living their lives. We created that. We did that. So I'm grateful for you. I appreciate you. I could not have done, which is true. I could not have done any of this without you.
They need to hear it. Couples need to hear it.
Couples need to hear it.
They need to hear that appreciation and that gratitude. That's very important. This is not the only book that you have written. I know that you have a devotional. The Lenten season is here.
Mm-hmm.
We won't have to get much into it, but I definitely want to get all that information so people know where to get Restore Us, the book, if they want to get your devotional that you have out.
Right.
You know, where can they go to get all of that stuff and learn more about what you do?
So thank you, Raquel. I'm going to ask that if you want to purchase the book, both books, you can go to Amazon.com mm-hmm. or you can go to my author page, KhalilCarmichael.com. You can always find me on livewellchurch.org, or if you Google my name, you know, the information will come up. But I really hope that couples, and listen to this, I want to remind your listeners, that when you purchase the Restores, you can make a virtual session with me and your spouse to kind of ground these exercises and kind of prepare you through it. You know, I'm available. This is something that is so important to me. Why is it so important to me? My mother and father divorced when I was 13, and it devastated me.
Yeah.
I mean, it sent my life on another path. Now, in retrospect, I understand that was God's will and plan for me, so I could do what I'm doing now.
Right.
I could have the passion and the purpose to do that now. But when my parents divorced, it devastated me. It devastated our family. And I don't want that for anyone.
Right.
I don't want, especially when it does not have to be. Now, my parents, they needed to divorce. They're now with their partners, my bonus mom and dad.
Okay.
They're with the partners they needed to be with because they met when they were 16 and 15 and young.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, now my dad has a story of us with his wife, my bonus mom. My mom has a story of us with her husband, my bonus dad. And that's how life works.
Okay.
But there are some people, they should not divorce.
Understand. And what about the marriage retreat? Is there a marriage retreat coming
there
up?
There is a marriage retreat coming up. We'll be going to the beautiful hills of Pennsylvania. I'm only taking 14 couples this time, my wife and I, and it's going to be a powerful time of intimacy and connection. That is April 25th, I believe it is. And so we are so excited about that. We'll be going Thursday, Friday, and returning Saturday. But Thursday and Friday, we're going to work out with the couples. We're going to exercise physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And when you leave, you will be walking on the path of restoration. You will know and feel that there has been an us that has been restored.
The name of the book is Restore Us, written by Khalil Carmichael. Thank you so much for joining us on Bridging Philly.
Thank you for having me. This has been just a wonderful time, and I'm so grateful.
Bridging Philly continues in a moment. Back to Bridging Philly from KYW News Radio 103.9 FM.
Welcome back to Bridging Philly. On this week's Shara in the City, Shara Day Howard takes a trip to the Ministry of Awe in Old City for an immersive art experience in a newly renovated 19th century bank.
This week on Shara in the City, we're walking along one of Philly's most historic blocks, 3rd Street off Market Street in Old City, to the Ministry of Awe. So what is that, you ask? It's a new, ever-evolving, immersive art experience inside of, get this, a reawakened 19th century bank. And we're going to get a sneak peek from Meg Seligman, one of Philly's most revered public artists, who's spearheading this whole project now with over 100 artists helping to design, paint, and reawaken this century-old Philly treasure. And it's opening March 14th. It's going to be amazing. Now let's go get Meg. She's right inside. Hey, how you doing,
nice
Meg?
Nice to
if
meet you.
If you wouldn't, introduce yourself.
I'm Meg Seligman.
All right, so we're at your new project. It's pretty cool. Ministry of All. Does that say it all?
No, it certainly does not say it all. It's enticing, like what is inside will be.
Tease, sister, please.
I love that. Yeah.
So you're going to give us a little tour of what's to come, but first we have to put on our safety gear, right?
Yeah, you have to put on a hard hat so in case anything falls on your head. Because we all know that you only have one brain, can't be replaced.
We should have a helmet.
That's right.
Let's do this.
All right. Let me get you hard hats. I'll be right back.
And right out of the gate, or through the door, should I say, you can look back and see this beautiful golden, I don't know what that is, maybe a 19th century door, and then to the left, a big hole. So things were getting dicey already. So glad I had that helmet.
Watch myself.
So Meg, where are we?
In the lobby of the Ministry of Awe. We're in America's most historic square mile on a street where a lot of things were invented.
Oh, very true.
Yes,
and we know
yes.
Philly has so much history, but this right now, you're setting your own trend, aren't you?
Yes, you were inventing some fun, some thoughtful work. We have a 6-story work of art that you can come in and walk through. So we're super psyched about it.
Yeah. 6 stories. Look at this. Oh my God. And always a little mystery.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun. What's
that? Da-da.
We'll tell you later, alligator. It was time to get a move on. Time to dig into this Philly treasure.
All right, wait. Now we can do this.
That was the sound of a plank connecting one side of the room to the other. And of course, we had to walk it like we were pirates. But hey, I don't mind being a pirate for a day. But it was worth it because on the other side, an absolute treasure as promised.
Okay, you see there, this is an original Frank Furness designed vault. I would take you in, but I'd have to kill you. Okay.
You don't want any of that.
Yeah, I just want you to know that the vault chooses you. When you come in, and it will decide if you can come in and experience it.
So honestly, in that moment, was I a little scared? Yeah, well, maybe. Uh-huh. I was scared.
She was just so convincing. Let's change the subject, huh? What do you say?
It's so mystical, you know, but so much of Philly is magical. And you're bringing the magic back with this effort, right?
Yeah, and you know what I say? Like, in Philly, art isn't just decoration. It's a declaration.
Ooh, I love it.
We take our art seriously, but at the same time with a little grit, irreverence, humor, and a heck of a lot of beauty.
This has been your gig the whole time.
Yeah, so that is my jam, actually. And one thing you won't be able to tell, or you can't tell right now, or even when it's finished, is we actually have the community making this entire thing with us.
This was all so cool. The mystery, the mayhem, so much fun. Tell me more.
Every Tuesday night, it's an open call for our neighbors, fellow artists, fellow non-artists. They come in and we make stuff together for the exhibits. Always believe in seeing the hand in the work of art. So we have thousands of hands coming in here. It's Philly grown. We like that part of it.
Oh, we love Philly grown. So let's talk about this Frank Furness vault. Why did you decide it was important to really just hold on to this, other than the fact that you can't move it out because it's tons and tons?
Right.
What are you going to build on top of it?
That's right. That there's no way to move it. But it's also important to hold on because the craftsmanship. I mean, we're artists. We're sitting here trying to create things, and for us to be able to have a conversation.
Yeah.
And site specific is always important.
Oh,
find what's there. We don't want to start over, but we like to cull from what we find.
All right, so what's next?
Okay, so we're in the lobby. There are lots of nooks, cranny, crevices. So you come through here. There are vaults on every floor that you can explore and walk through.
Because this was an old bank, right?
That's right. There's a president's office. The president was a woman.
Get
other
out.
Details, yeah. Other details are a little murky.
Well, what do you know? What in the Women's Month did we just find out? News you can use. The president was a woman. And what year are we talking?
1850 was when this bank was built. But the Ministry of Awe actually has been around since the beginning of time. They just like this site in Philadelphia. That's why we're opening it here.
Yeah, so we had to get down to the nitty gritty. There's a lot to uncover here. So let's talk a little bit about the history of the Ministry of Awe, but also this site.
The history of the Ministry of Awe is it's an entity. It struggles to stay alive and for the public good. It is an entity that's highest value is humanity.
Actually, struggling.
Well, you know what? I kind of think that's why the Ministry of Awe wants to open here in Philly right now.
And why you? Did they reach out to you and say, hey, I love your work and I know you can do this?
I was bequeathed the building. And the building came with the ministry kind of already in it.
Amazing. Yeah. So what's a little bit of this history? It was built in the late 19th century. And then well into the 20th century, it kind of brought its flavor.
Right. This building was built in 1850. Mm-hmm. Then it operated as a bank to the early 1900s. And then it was owned by one man who ran his business out of here. So the public has not been in this building for well over 50 years. When it was bequeathed to me, this building, it had been vacant for over a decade. And then it was, what do you want to do with this building? On the front of this building, it says Manufacturers
right.
National
building,
Bank. So we thought,
mystery.
This is a perfect redevelopment. We're going to open a bank with no money. Now, that's pretty creative.
Right? I love the idea. So how did you even get here? And what's the ultimate plan, really?
The ultimate plan is you can come in with a time ticket. You will experience visual art, performance, interaction. You can choose to just wander and observe. But what we really, really want, what we really are proud of inside, that this is a place that values our humanness and that it's a place of exchange.
I love it. So choose your own experience.
Yeah. And once we open, this work will evolve with the visitors, visionaries, and wild ideas that enter this building. The general direction is up. Yes, upward mobility, let's say.
Let's do it. Oh, it's gorgeous. And the original woodwork, there's a stairway. Wow.
Saving and exposing absolutely everything original that we can, because it deserves to be preserved.
Oh, wow.
So this room will be an oversized jewelry box when you come in. There will be a performance of sorts. We're proud that it's fully accessible.
Gotta have that. To
gotta have
people,
that, right? Yeah. We have an old, beautiful, fire-rated stairwell that different mm-hmm. artists take up the brush on different floors.
Love
and
it.
They will be in conversation with each other when it's all done.
Oh, I can hear the voices already.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
So where to next?
Oh, I like you. You're like all... You get it. You get us. I can hear the voices already. If these walls could talk.
Oh, we can right. only imagine.
Now this...
So cool.
Yeah,
guys.
This is an example. This piece, part of the stairwell, is almost as though you're in a 1990s video game.
I was just about to say, I feel my teen years coming back. Lord help us.
I know. And one of the values that we explore is nostalgia.
Yeah. You feel it. And look at that spiral staircase. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Do you notice it goes to nowhere?
I saw the ceiling into the stairs, but I feel like, you know what? There might be a portal.
Yes, there actually might be a portal. And the bottom of this spiral staircase, you will find an explorable nest, which is their security department. And at the top, it's the insecurity department.
Fraud and abuse into the insecurity
department. Yeah.
So many things to discover in this building. It's a portal.
Exactly. We love the nowhere but somewhere. That's kind of our vibe, right?
I feel it. I like it, though. So, it's artsy fartsy.
We're very lucky to get a grant to restore the facade to the way it once looked.
So
you'll see a big lantern with real fire in it.
So lighting sconces.
If you're driving down the street and you're like, have you seen that old building that looks like it's out of the 1850s? That's us. I like that.
Thank you for joining us. Bridging Philly is brought to you by Gift of Life Donor Program. Register as an organ donor at donorsone.org. Follow me on Blue Sky at Raquel on Air. You can also follow Shara Day Howard on Blue Sky at Shara Day on Air. For Shara Day Howard and our producer Sabrina Boyd-Circa, I'm Raquel Williams. Be well.